Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
In the outskirts of the city, a bounty has been claimed. Dragging his captive out of a local saloon, the Mandalorian sees his starship across the street. Gate open, ready for boarding. The Mandalorian pulls his bounty across that street and gets to the bottom of the entry ramp where he briefly pauses to grab some air. It is then that a siren goes off and Judge Dredd imposingly stands on the edge of the sidewalk.
Jaywalking is a crime in this city. You're under arrest.
The Mandalorian turns and curses under his breath.
Is there no other way?
He questions the law enforcement officer, and with no hint of irony, Judge Dredd stays stone-faced and just says,
"This is the way,"
and draws his weapon. It's Mandalore versus Mega City 1. It's Mando versus the Dead Man. It's the Mandalorian versus Judge Dredd. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsy, and as always, I'm joined by the one, the only, the icon himself. It is Ray Stakanis. Today's episode of Who Would Win brings together advanced technology with a little bit of justice on the side. In one corner, you have the Mandalorian, a skilled and stoic bounty hunter from the planet Mandalore, who protects a mysterious and powerful child known as Grogu. And in the other corner, you have Judge Dredd, an uncompromising law enforcer who acts as judge, jury, and executioner in a dystopian future. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And yeah, this matchup has actually been discussed in depth quite a few times, but it's never come to a clear-cut winner or decision until today, that is. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I was intrigued by this one. I'm gonna pull back the curtain as I always do. This whole thing was James Gavsy's idea. So if you love this idea, thank James. If you hate this idea, blame James. Actually, I take that back. Thank me, because I said yes. So basically, it was my idea. The point I'm trying to make here is that this is fascinating to me. You've got the bounty hunter versus the authority law enforcement agent, right? And you have two worlds set in the future. You've got two guys who rely on their pistol a whole heck of a lot. I'm fascinated by this. I like both of these two properties. I like both of these two characters. And the more, and you know, it always happens, the more I broke down in this one, the closer and closer and closer it got. We're going to be dealing with severe nuance here at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I suggested this matchup knowing full well, look, I love the Mandalorian. Ray loves Judge Dredd. I knew there was going to be a good chance everyone would be on board with this. One of those rare times where that would happen. And what's really cool is like both of these characters have their own code of conduct, their own set of rules, if you will, which makes today's judge perfect for this episode, because if anyone, and I mean anyone, has their own set of rules that make no sense whatsoever sometimes and sometimes make all the sense in the world, it's this guy. So making another appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's actor and comedian extraordinaire, it's fan favorite judge, it's Matthew Harris. Matthew, welcome back to Who Would Win.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me here. And I feel honored. These are the two helmeted ones that we have here today. I can't wait to see what you two are going to bring. This is going to be pretty epic.
I agree. Ray and I wear helmets very well. But for today's episode of The Mandalorian versus Judge Dredd, this is something I think that, you know, you're quite the storyteller. And Ray, you mentioned nuance, and Matthew Harris, you're all about the nuance and seeing things kind of how they line up and using logic and what have you to come up with a great story in the form of your judgment for the, you know, all of the battles you've been on so far. But before we get into today's episode, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
All right. So I am currently, a couple things just to let people know about. Currently, I'm in a film. It, as soon as there is information on when this will be distributed, but I'm really proud of it. The film is called Future Date. I mentioned it before. It's currently making the circuits of film festivals. It is a rom-com set in a dystopian future about people who find love when all they've done is live literally in pods alone. But while we're waiting for that movie to come out, the makers of that movie and myself, a couple of other really talented people got together and we made a little short that is out there for people to see right now. You can find this. The easiest place to find it is on Vimeo. It's called Reply Stop. Those two words, Reply Stop. And it's, I guess the best way to say is that it's a short movie. It's, I would maybe put it almost in the horror thriller genre about what happens when a guy receives way too many political text messages.
Oh, wow. I mean, that happens to no one that I know of, especially not me. That actually sounds kind of creepy and scary, and I want to see it right now. Anything that you star in, by the way, I'm sure is going to be absolutely fantastic. So please, yeah, you know, what we need to do is have you back on the show the moment this movie drops somewhere where everyone can watch it. And unfortunately, I'm all too familiar with the post-production and distribution challenges that films seem to have these days. All good, but if anyone can make it happen, it's Matthew Harris. All right, so we got a crazy battle. We got The Mandalorian. We've got Judge Dredd. We've got Matthew Harris. We've got the makings of a fantastic episode of Who Would Win. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Star Wars, the only bounty hunter who's accepted Pascal's wager, The Mandalorian. And representing British comics, the second most feared judge in the world, after Simon Cowell, of course, Judge Dredd.
Can you imagine Judge Dredd on American Idol or America's Got Talent? That would be fantastic.
I would be afraid. I would be afraid.
That'd be absolutely amazing. All right, well done. Right now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit sayword.co/collections. That's sayword.co/collections. And click on the Who Would Win merch section to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts, hats, hoodies, and our very own proprietary 3D printed Who Would Win versus stand. And now let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Judge Dredd.
Judge Joseph Dredd is a dystopian law enforcement officer in Mega City 1. He was created by John Wagner, Carlos Ezquerra, and Pat Mills, and first appeared in 2000 AD number 2 back in 1977. In the future world, street judges roam the streets as judge, jury, and executioner, upholding the laws as they see them. Judge Dredd has been a mainstay in comics, as well as having two feature films made about him, of course. One starring Sylvester Stallone, the other starring Carl Urban, because he's in everything. And those are each of the different incarnations. Now, Judge Dredd, believe it or not, is meant to be a satirical look at the justice system when taken to its biggest but most logical extremes. Fun fact, despite appearing in the weekly anthology comic 2000 AD, the world of Judge Dredd is not actually set in the future year of 2000, like I originally assumed it was. In fact, Judge Dredd is set 122 years in the future and is ongoing in real time. That means that back in 1977, it took place in the year 2099, but issues published today would be set in the year 2146. Why? Who knows? Other than the fact that we started at 2099, and that's a pretty cool year. I'll race y'all there. And that is Judge Dredd.
Very cool. Now, here are the important details for The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian first appeared November 2019 on Disney Plus and was created by Jon Favreau. Set in the Star Wars universe, The Mandalorian series takes place 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. The Mandalorian, whose real name is Din Djarin, is a lone gunfighter, member of the Bounty Hunter Guild, who is sometimes referred to as Mando, a generic term used to refer to all Mandalorians. The Mandalorian himself is a bounty hunter who was active during the early years of the New Republic era. Orphaned as a child when his parents were killed by Separatist battle droids, he was taken and raised by the Mandalorians as a foundling, eventually becoming a member of a reclusive sect of the Mandalorians known as the Tribe. Since then, the Mandalorian has found himself as protector of Grogu, a little baby Yoda-looking creature, and also as a current holder of the Darksaber, or at least he was, and now interacting with Jedi and other Mandalorians while saving planets from would-be tyrants. And here's an interesting fact about the Mandalorian. Did you know that even a Wookiee could be considered a Mandalorian? It's true. Now, let me explain. While canon and Star Wars Legends each depict vastly different versions of the planet Mandalore, the world remains the birthplace and cultural capital of the Mandalorians. With this in mind, one may assume that Mandalorians must hail from Mandalore, the planet itself, or at least from Mandalorian space, to be true Mandalorians. But official Star Wars canon established that Mandalorian culture is a creed. Any being of any species or background can become a true Mandalorian if they adhere to Mandalorian culture, which means a Wookiee, a Jawa, or even a Hutt can become an official Mandalorian. And now you have the facts and both opponents. Matthew, do you have any questions before we get started?
None so far.
I like the dramatic pause and then the quick statement of none so far.
That is the level of judgment you're going to get today.
You know, I can see your face right now. That's what I'm hearing you, but the look you're giving me, no, there's some deep judgment. Like you're judging me right now for something.
Very, very deeply, and you'll never know.
That's fair. I can't understand that level of thought. All right, let's get this party started. Ray, hit us for your point number one.
Point number one for Judge Dredd. We're going to talk all about his tangibles. We're going to talk about all his strength, speed, durability, all of the above, because I think he is head and shoulders above the Mandalorian, who is a well-trained guy, but at the end of the day, he's just a guy. Meanwhile, Judge Dredd has undergone rejuvenation surgery multiple times, meaning despite the fact that I believe he's in his 70s at this point, he still has a body of somebody considerably younger. So you take a guy who would be like in his 30s per se, and you give him the experience fighting crime every day, who would be in his 70s, you're going to have a lot of brains, but with a very potent body. But he's also every bit as strong as you would expect him to be. He seemingly has like Captain America level strength because he hits people and they fly up in the air, many feet up into the air. He smashes through doors like he's Jason Voorhees in a Friday the 13th movie. Every single time he grabs somebody's body and hits them, throws them, he cracks the ground. He cracks the walls. He cracks the vehicles. He damages the area around him that is very, very hard to damage with people's bodies because he is that strong. Well, he did the thing that I thought you could do when you were a kid, which is you take your hand and you bring in your knuckles and then you hit somebody up in the nose and drive it through their brain, killing them. Somebody told me that was a thing when I was 7 and I was afraid to punch anybody. Maybe that's why I was bullied. The point I'm trying to say right now is that he did that move and killed a cyborg. Somebody with cybernetic enhancements, he did the thing and shot the nose through his brain. I once saw him hold a family car with an entire family of 4 inside as it was hanging off a bridge. He held it with one hand for 5 minutes straight. He just needed a little bit of leverage to get it up and needed a second person to help him pull it. And then as he sat there, he was yelling at people that they were under arrest. It was fabulous. And I saw him grab a badge, a police badge, and headshot a guy with it by throwing it. Outrageous. And how about speed? This is a guy who can quick draw in under 2 milliseconds. 2 milliseconds, he can quick draw. I saw him quick draw and blow away 5 guys at the same time, and all 5 of those guys had their guns aimed at him already. That's fast. He also dodges bullets like no one. He sees bullets and shoots them out of the air. And his big move is quickly disarming and countering folks, but he does that to people who literally have their firearms pressed against his body. That's how fast Judge Dredd is. And his armor. His armor is very, very good as well. Is it as good as Beskar armor? You be the judge. Because it's seemingly immune to fire and heat, seemingly immune to bullets in many ways. His helmet definitely is bulletproof. A cyborg punched him square in the face and the helmet absorbed all of the damage. a laser beam that cuts humans to ribbons was shot at the helmet, and the helmet deflected the laser beam. That's important in a battle like this. A sonic attack was shot through a weapon at the helmet. He survived it. Rubble fell from a collapsing building on top of him. He was fine. But even if the armor doesn't protect him 100%, he can keep fighting despite having gruesome injuries. He's been impaled and shot in the difficult bits, and he was able to just keep on fighting as if nothing was going on. A master torturer could not get the confession, the answers, the information he needed out of Judge Dredd, who just kept on going. And the big thing about his fighting style is he's willing to allow himself to get injured in a minor way in order to get a bigger hit in on his opponent. Because at the end of the day, he will feel it, but he will push through it. I've seen Mandalorian get worn down by a fight and just lose the capacity to move anymore at the end of that season. That doesn't happen to Judge Dredd. So in a battle of wills, Judge Dredd is stronger, and that's my point number one.
Wow, okay, let me push back. But before I push back, fun fact, evidently, Judge Dredd, you know, went through this rejuvenation procedure a few times, but he has refused constantly, and every time he's done it, to have his bones and organs, his insidey places, if you will, to also be rejuvenated, which means for a guy in his 70s, he's fast, he's strong, and what have you. Yeah, but he's got internal organs and bones that have gone through a lot and aren't quite up to par with the rest of his body. Just a fun fact with that. In terms of a quick draw, listen, the Mandalorian's a quick draw as well. Plus, he has those whistling birds, little mini missiles in his forearm that he can launch easily against people who have or surround him with guns drawn as well. So he's got a couple of tricks there. And Beskar armor. Yeah, I'm going to say it right now. Way more powerful than the armor and helmet that Judge Dredd has. Remember, this is something that's been broken. This is something that Batman, a cool crossover, Batman one punched or one shot at Judge Dredd in the helmet right by his nose, not his mouth, but his nose, cracked the helmet apart and actually made Judge Dredd's face bleed badly with that and knocked him down with one shot. Just putting that out there, as cool as that is. All right, now let me get to my point number one. So here's the deal. Let's just talk about the Mandalorian's gear, because this guy is basically the Swiss Army knife of the galaxy, minus the corkscrew and some cooler gadgets with that. All right, now first off, let's go to his helmet. Not just any helmet. Oh, no, it's got a highly advanced built-in heads-up display. It's like having Google Maps, night vision, and a personal assistant all wrapped around his head. He's got scanners. He's got telescoping optics. More sensors than a smartphone on overdrive is kind of just a fun way to describe it. It's really the ultimate multi-tool for when you're hunting bounty or just trying to avoid awkward conversations that raise, you know, dinner parties. We've got the whistling birds in his forearm that I mentioned before. These sound really cool. These are these mini smart missiles that fly out in clusters like a caffeinated swarm of angry bees. They hit targets from any direction. It's like having a tiny, highly trained drone squad living rent-free on your arm. It's handy for those, I don't know, like I need a distraction moments, or when you just want to feel like a high-tech action hero. It's just something really cool that he has and kind of pulls out when he needs it. There's his jetpack, and this thing isn't your average backpack. It's this flying, cool powerhouse of a jetpack. It can keep him airborne longer than almost like anything you see in Star Wars outside of like a TIE fighter or what have you. It's a quick boost in flight. Got short bursts of lift to gain that tactical advantage. It can reach a whopping 70 meters vertically. It can chase TIE fighters for short distances, for God's sake. And even pack, it has got that rocket firing missile thing that it can pack in the back and launch. And that can obliterate a large area. Never mind take out Judge Dredd. Plus, it syncs with his helmet's targeting system for precision strikes. And according to Ray Stakanis, whoever can fly and will have a massive aerial advantage over their opponent and definitely get the win. Again, that's according to Ray Stakanis. Now, moving on to his gauntlets, because why stop in one gadget? We can have them all. These come equipped with a grappling line that he can launch for scaling buildings or pulling off epic entrance moves, grapple and kind of tie someone up and kind of tie them up, whatever, and incapacitate them. He's got flamethrowers for when you need to bro something more than just, you know, whatever standing in front of you. He's got laser blasters because, well, lasers are just cooler than regular blasters, I guess. It's like he's wearing a toolkit for every possible scenario, from climbing buildings to just, I don't know, taking on TIE fighters. This is someone who's insanely versatile. Now, his armor, it's not just styles, it's packed with sonic repulsors. It's got a shield emitter. It's got paralyzing darts, sonic repulsors. Think of them as built-in sound barriers that keep enemies at bay while you strut your stuff. And he's also got force shield emitters, because sometimes a good old-fashioned force field is all you need to stay safe. And don't forget about those paralyzing darts. These are perfect when you want to take down a foe without that messy cleanup, and he's got a ton of them. It's like having a high-tech suit of armor that says, I'm here to protect, serve, and look pretty damn good doing it, as opposed to what Judge Dredd has, because I just don't understand what's going on with his armor and his suit. I don't know. I'll talk about that later. Now, let's not forget about his vibroblade. That's that dagger that vibrates so fast and slice it through anything like butter, whether you're cutting through crates or taking down those giant hairy mud horns, those rhinos, whatever it is. It's like the difference between using a butter knife and a samurai sword. And trust me, you want the samurai sword in this thing. And the crown jewel of his arsenal is that modified Amvin rifle, I think is what it's called. And it's not just a sniper rifle, although it's a great sniper rifle. It's actually a disintegration ray that can vaporize targets from afar or up close. Some of my favorite scenes, I love Jawas, but unfortunately my favorite scenes in the first series of this is when Mandalorian's taking out Jawas from a distance because he gets that range and they just completely disintegrate. And this weapon's so dangerous that both the Rebellion and the Empire completely banned it. When your weapon is too hot for both sides to handle, you know you're dealing with some serious firepower. Plus, it has a sonic detector to eavesdrop on distant conversations. It doubles as a melee weapon on top of that with a forked front that can shock enemies in submission or just deliver some good old-fashioned blunt force trauma. By the way, I think it's hilarious that it's got a sonic detector to eavesdrop because that's what you want on your disintegrator ray, is a way to hear what people are saying about you before you completely disintegrate. And for all that was enough, he also carries a modified heavy blaster. This thing can take out most enemies with one shot and can even give giant creatures a reason to rethink their life choices. It's like having, I don't know, every kind of weapon you need, and he's got it. Plus, by the way, he's an expert at using all of this in combination, very similar to how like a Batman or at least a Nightwing uses all their tech and gadgets, making this person, the Mandalorian, insanely dangerous, insanely unpredictable. That is my point number one.
I mean, I like how I talk about how Judge Dredd is fighting against superpowered characters, cyborgs. James is like, well, Mandalorian really cleans house on those Jawas. Oh, man, yeah, you're really a tough guy there. You know, there's a big difference between shooting Jawas and shooting a guy who can move like Judge Dredd, who can see and shoot bullets out of the air, right? And Beskar armor is good armor, let's keep it real. But it doesn't protect the body from slamming around inside of it. Remember, what really brought down Mandalorian, as I said before, was a big explosion and a shockwave, which means it does not disperse kinetic energy particularly well. That's going to come in really important in my point number two.
This is some crazy stuff, and you can tell, Legion of Audience, by the tone of both Ray's voice and mine, that we both want this win very badly, but that doesn't really matter because we need to see what the judge has to say. Matthew, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
All right, let's get right into it. Okay, so usually when I'm at the show right now, things kind of start off even because there are some really good points presented on both sides. Today's no exception. There are really good points on both sides because what I'm seeing right now is that, and man, I want to see where it's going to go in the points two and three, because right out of the gate, I'm seeing that Judge Dredd is coming at us, who seems to have a lot of skill. I'm seeing a lot of skill, a lot of experience. He's got what he's got. It's you know, he's got this peak human strength, which so far it looks like I'm going to let stand. He's got the rejuvenation surgery, but there's some questions as to the internal organs. But this idea of dodging bullets and shooting bullets out of the air, that's pretty highly skilled. Where now you got the Mandalorian coming out, and Mandalorian is a Swiss Army knife of where he is a walking arsenal that is also a tank. Usually tanks just absorb damage, but Mando is dishing it out too. So he's more like an aircraft carrier. I'm going to say that right now it looks pretty even, although until I hear some answers, just because of the sheer arsenal that he's packing, slight edge to the Mandalorian.
Ooh, I like how you add that little piece at the end. I mean, you can call it right now. The Mandalorian Beast Judge Dredd. I'm just saying, if that's what you want. No, you're shaking your... Got it. So this match will continue. It's going to get really heated really, really quick. Stay tuned for point number two.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Let's be the most real for a moment here, if you'll allow me. The holiday season will be upon us faster than you can say Ray is right. Our friends at Uncommon Goods have got a fantastic catalog of unique hand-picked gifts that will make shopping for loved ones easy. Look, I just got some gifts from Uncommon Goods delivered last week. Now, don't tell my kid, but I got her a kit that makes frozen bubbles because science is cool and also, you know, bubbles, right? Also, I got her a Roll of the Dice Enchanted Forest game book. This is a book we can read together. Great. Plus, a die and a map, so it's a game as well. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty excited to check this one out with her. Please don't spoil it. Anybody out there, any of you. So support artists and small businesses this year and check out Uncommon Goods for high quality, unique gifts that are most of the time made here in the good old US of A. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/whowouldwin. That's uncommongoods.com/whowouldwin for 15% off. Now don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
And we're back. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Judge Dredd. You know, it seems like a good time to talk about the gear. But before I talk about that, let's just mention it. Mandalorian's wearing that heavy Beskar armor. He doesn't move particularly quickly. We're not seeing him do jump flips around as it comes to dodging bullets the way that Judge Dredd can be very acrobatic and move around and dodge bullets on his side. I would like to say that defensively, I think while the armor is phenomenal, I don't think that the Judge Dredd armor is so far behind when it comes to the weapons we're talking about here. But we'll get into it. First off, Judge Dredd has bionics. He had his eyes, you know, removed surgically and has special eyes put in that say they grant him 20/20 vision. And then they go on to describe the vision as everything that's better than 20/20 vision. He has night vision. He can zoom in on things like from a distance and it's very, very hard. He can spot snipers and tripwires and distant enemies off in the horizon as if he's like looking at them normally. Like he's got that thing on your iPad where you take the two fingers and spread them out to zoom in. He can do that with his normal eyes. He also carries what's called stun gas grenades. These are knockout grenades that have knocked groups of people unconscious before. He also has a grenade that literally blew up a tank. Now, the Mandalorian needs to breathe. I don't know that the Mandalorian's Beskar armor, and James, you can answer that. I don't think it has an internal Tony Stark Iron Man breathing setup. So if he drops a KO grenade around him and Mandalorian doesn't move that fast to get out of there, he's going to breathe that in and go down. That's a good way to bypass the armor right there. He's also, Judge Dredd, got a cling net, which is a net like the Predator has, where he throws it at you and it wraps around you and it gets tighter and tighter and tighter. I appreciate that the Beskar armor will protect him from the damage of that, but it won't protect him from the conscription of that. And he's going to get absolutely tied up and incapacitated for 2 minutes if the cling net gets anywhere near him. Judge Dredd also carries a day stick, which is really just like a big old club. It's really good for parrying, though, if it ends up in a hand-to-hand combat. It's good for disarming your opponent as well. But let's talk about the big ones here. The motorcycle. He's got a motorcycle. It's called Lawmaster. It's got two cannons on it. Two cannons that shoot both bullets and lasers. And anybody who shoots bullets in the Star Wars universe is officially at an advantage to somebody who shoots lasers. That's normal Star Wars knowledge. And it fires 6 different types of bullets. We'll get into those in a second. It also has a turbo boost that allows it to fly short distances when it needs to. And it has an autopilot and will respond to his commands, allowing him a 2v1 advantage with his gear. But the big gear that he carries is Lawgiver. That's his special pistol. That carries 6 different types of ammo. First off, he's a master marksman. He can hit people from a distance. As I said before, he outdraws in less than 2 milliseconds and can blow 5 people away with perfectly precise shots. Well, here's partially how he does it. His standard ammunition could blow up someone's head. His standard ammunition will blow up heads. He then has high explosive ammo, which is great against a guy like the Mandalorian, who explosives will work on to take out small areas and the Mandalorian tries to hide behind a post or something. He's also got armor-piercing bullets. It's bullets that are powerful enough to penetrate the armor in his own helmet, which is, as I've said before in the last point, phenomenally durable. Perhaps it could pierce a Beskar armor. He's also got hot shot, which is heat-seeking bullets. Bullets that will go around corners, curve 180 degrees, will chase after heat signals and vibrations. So he's going to try to aim it at something. It's going to go for nice spots, nice target spots, and it's going to hit them because they are homing bullets. Additionally, he has incendiary, which is fire ammunition, and ricochet bullets. These are incredible. he can fire with deadly accuracy a bullet that he can like work out the angles for because he's like a mathematical genius, and it can up to 10 ricochets, it stays lethal, which means he can hit you around corners. In fact, it's his standard move is to use his other weapons to force an enemy to retreat behind cover where they think they're safe, like the Mandalorian does in a lot of his episodes of the TV show. And then he finishes them off with a ricochet bullet because they think they're safe. They let their guard down for a moment and ping, he gets a headshot, a face shot, a nose shot, a neck shot in off of a rock behind him or something to that effect. That's amazing weaponry. That's Judge Dredd. And that's my point number two.
All right, interesting. I'm glad you brought in the motorcycle because that makes my job a little bit easier. I'll explain that in my point number two. Now, to go back to a previous point, Ray, you talked about not being able to move fast with the Mandalorian with that armor. That's actually completely incorrect. The Mandalorian can move extremely fast and is super agile, can dodge things while wearing that Beskar armor because I don't think Beskar is insanely heavy. And, you know, the Mandalorian knows how to move around with it. It's just something he's got. In terms of the bionics that are impressive that Judge Dredd has, you could sum all of that as everything that's in the helmet of the Mandalorian, Judge Dredd has in the form of bionics. So that's kind of a push. The Kling Net, awesome. The Vibro Blade, the Flamethrower, everything else he's got, that'll set him free, cut him through that. And on top of that, all the stuff that all the bullets you mentioned, which are really, really impressive. Again, the Beskar armor, which I'll describe my point number two, none of that's getting through the Beskar armor. He's got answers for all this kind of stuff that you mentioned, as impressive as it is. Let me get to my point number two real quick. And for my point number two, we're going to talk about his training. Yeah, the Beskar armor, the Darksaber, which he sometimes has, and, you know, the vehicle that he has at his disposal. You know, look, from the moment that the Mandalorian was rescued as a child, he was, I don't know, what's the right word? Steeped? I guess he was steeped in this insanely rigorous training and traditions of Mandalorian culture. Look, every child is molded into this big-time warrior. Imagine starting combat training when you're a kid, kind of like a Spartan does at age 7, and then mastering everything from hand-to-hand combat and marksmanship to strategic thinking, survival skills, all while doing this with some of the galaxy's harshest environments with some of the most badass instructors ever. And as great of a fighter as Judge Dredd is, the Mandalorian is just as technically sound, but easily surpasses him in the area of dirty tactics. This will be a factor. Look, a flamethrower to the face at close range, a headbutt, any dirty tactic you can think of, the Mandalorian knows, has used, and has pretty much perfected over his lifetime as part of its fighting arsenal. Now let's talk about that Beskar, because if you're not familiar you're with all this, you're definitely going to be educated and in for a treat for this. Now, the Mandalorian's culture is all about starting combative training before you even say this is the way. And their obsession with all that training, it comes with this metal called Beskar, and especially Beskar armor. This is the thing that gives, I don't know what the right term is, the street cred to Mandalorians. Now, in the Star Wars universe, Beskar is kind of like the adamantium from Marvel universe. It's the strongest metal they've got. It can withstand, it's proven to withstand lightsabers, extreme heat, energy weapons, you know, kinetic weapons like bullets, which do exist within the Star Wars universe. It laughs in the face of heavy blaster fire. It takes impacts like a champ. And guess what? Even I said this lightsaber, which is insanely hot, can't get through it. And our guy, the Mandalorian, he's basically wearing a tank, just as our judge said so. It's explosion proof, bulletproof. And again, energy weapons just can't do a thing to it. And Judge Dredd may have, you know, some decent armor, but it's definitely not in the same class as Beskar. It's just something that, you know, it's not going to be taking out missiles, blaster fire, or something like a lightsaber that Din Djarin might have. On top of that, let's just talk about it. The Mandalorian has that Darksaber. Now, of course, he doesn't have it at the end of the series, but he did have it for quite some time. And this Darksaber, it's an ancient, one-of-a-kind, black-bladed lightsaber. It was crafted by this character named Tar Vizsla, who was the first ever Mandalorian Jedi. It's pretty cool. It can slice through practically anything, heats up to a sizzling 45,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and it can obliterate weapons of all types faster than Judge Dredd can deliver a justice sentence. It's just so cool. And on top of all that, he's got a staff made of Beskar, because why settle for one weapon made out of Beskar when you have a whole arsenal made from the galaxy's toughest metal? And picture this, you know, in this whole battle, as great as Judge Dredd is, he typically has the superiority in armor, tactics, and weaponry. And when he's facing off against someone who can even match him somewhat a little bit, never mind surpass him, things go horribly wrong for him. I'll provide examples that in my point number three. And on top of that, let's talk about, you know, Judge Dredd's got his motorcycle. Well, the Mandalorian has what's called his N1 Starfighter, which is really cool. It's his modified starfighter that we first saw in The Phantom Menace. And it went so fast that actually the engines were kind of like banned. And so this is kind of like, you know, black market, you know, engines and starfighters and vehicles. Now, the really cool thing about this, the speed is insane. It's way faster than most starfighters. It's got way more maneuverability, especially in close quarters combat and evasive maneuvers. It's got dual laser cannons mounted on either side of the cockpit. It's equipped with a pair of proton torpedo launchers for heavy firepower. And on top of that, it's tuned for even greater speed and agility than standard models. This thing's absolutely insane. It's got shields for, you know, basic protection. It's got stealth and sensor dampening. It's got a reduced radar signature. You're not going to be seeing this thing. This thing is just built for speed, maneuverability, and delivering absolute crazy firepower in the form of energy weapons or torpedoes. I'll put that up against any type of motorcycle that Judge Red may have. All of that is my point number two.
All right. Well, wow, James, your point number one was he's got really good Beskar armor. Your point number two was that he has really good Beskar armor. Can't wait to hear your point number three, where you talk about how good his Beskar armor is. And I'm already showing you ways that it's not that good. And you're going to sleep on the uniform armor of Judge Dredd. It's seemingly immune to heat and fire. It took phosphorus rounds with no problem whatsoever. You're talking about the eyesight, and it's always got the tech. Well, there's a big difference between being able to do something naturally and relying on your technology to do it for you, please. And you talked about dirty tactics. Don't you think Judge Dredd, in his like 50 plus years of being a street cop, has seen every dirty tactic in the book? He's not going to be surprised by sand being thrown in his eyes. He's wearing a visor anyway. And you brought the starship into it. Like, he's going to start in the starship for this battle. Never minding the fact that he could just shoot out all of its, like, engines. It's very easy to take out the engines on these things, especially if you're at close range with high-powered ammunition. What's to stop him from getting right up close to it and just blowing off one of the wings or just one of the pieces he needs to fly? That thing's never getting in the air, and even if it did, that's basically battlefield removal while he gets up in the air and flies around. What are we even talking about? Let's have a real battle, James, not this weird, cheap junk you're trying to throw at me.
Yeah, that's how it works. Motorcycles can take out spaceships in Star Wars. That totally makes sense. I don't know if you know this, but the Mandalorian has what's called Beskar armor. More than that, my point number three. But none of that matters right now, because we are at the turning point. Matthew, you've had a moment to ponder two points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Oh, man. This is very exciting. This is very tense or intense, I should say, hearing all the points for who are we talking about? Judge Reinhold and the Manchurian Candidate. Yes. So here's what I'm seeing right now, because I really want to commend you both for really bringing the points here. So to the point of Judge Dredd, I feel like I got a better look at more of, we're kind of building out his arsenal. It's like, hey, don't forget, he's got weapons too. The motorcycle, I was wondering if that was going to come up, because I mean, look, honestly, if you're going to talk about the type of who would win battles we're talking about, things that are always present, that motorcycle is going to be there. That motorcycle is going to be there, and it is packed. The six types of ammo, very, very impressive. I do like the point that was made that, listen, the Mandalorian is agile in his Beskar armor, and then putting the point on it, Beskar armor is Beskar. I mean, this is, you know, yeah, it is adamantium. It is, that stuff is pretty hard to get through, which could make for a very tough battle, although a really good point was brought up about the fact that you have seen the Mandalorian react to blunt force impact. He does get knocked around. He does get thrown in there. So whereas the Beskar armor can protect from certain types of external injuries, there still is quite a bit for internal injuries. Whew! We are up and moving here. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that right now, from what I'm seeing, and I'm going, and you were right, it's coming down to the minutia. There's a couple of things that I'm saying to where, right now, I now think that Judge Dredd has the edge. Judge Dredd has the edge, and it's coming down to a couple of things. I do think that if they both were in their vehicles and operating at the peak of their thing, the motorcycle or the ship is going to be able to take out the motorcycle, but I think the motorcycle in a random encounter is going to be more accessible than the ship. So I think there's an edge that goes there. I do like the point that was made by Rey about at first it does kind of seem like, look, that helmet that the Mandalorian has with all of its sensors and things like that are great. However, now listen, Mandalorian doesn't often get separated from his helmet, but it's not impossible. Eyes are eyes. So the eyes are going to be with you. That it's the sliver of an edge that I'm seeing. So what I would have to see for the Mandalorian who right now is a little bit on the ropes to come back is I want to see some answers to Judge Dredd's prowess. Cause yeah, that's right. Mando's a dirty fighter. All right. He'll kick you in areas that are illegal in regular fights. But what does Judge Dredd do? He deals with criminals all day long. Rey made that point. These people aren't fighting fair. This is what he does all day, every day, and is ready for it. So I want to see for the 70 years old, you know, experienced guy who fights criminals all day long, even though he's a walking tank. I mean, really, at this point now, they both have all the weapons they'll need. So where is the Mandalorian going to get clever enough to take on Judge Dredd? And that's what I want to see.
This is a really crazy battle. I'm just going to say it right now. Judge Dredd's got this impressive lifespan and life experience. And at the same time, you know, of 70 years of active service or what have you, or a 70-year-old guy doing this for 50 years, that's crazy. And yet the Mandalorian's got experience, maybe not 50 years worth, but man, he's been traveling the galaxy in Star Wars with some of the worst criminal scum, as Jabba the Hutt would say, has to offer, you know, geek culture. It's actually a really cool juxtaposition. All I'm saying is I'm loving this battle so far, but we got to finish this off. Stay tuned for point number three. And we're back. Rey, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three for Judge Dredd. Let's just talk about some of the intangibles now, which I think do separate these two. Because, you know, you mentioned before, did you say the Mandalorians start training at what, 7 years old? That's great, because the judges start combat training at the age of five. Five-year-old recruits, much like Master Chief as well, and they receive 15 years of training before they can become judges on the streets, meeting out punishment to all of the criminals. That means that he has 15 full years starting at the age of five when you're most receptive to combat training, apparently. I'll ask you two about that. You're both combat trainers. I'm not. But how many five-year-olds can you beat up? I think for myself, I don't want to brag, the answer is two. Yeah, that's right. I said it, two. Anyway, they're very, very smart, the judges are. They can use pressure points to knock out stronger opponents. Now, I don't think for a second Mandalorian is physically stronger than Judge Dredd. I don't even think it's close, to be honest with you. But if he needed to get his hands on him and knock him out with a nerve damage of some kind, he could absolutely do it. And some of the craziest things I've seen. I saw Judge Dredd KO an opponent while he was strapped to a surgical table. What made this even more wild is the opponent he knocked out was seemingly Colonel Harlan Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken. And the man's cohort was the Michelin Man. I don't know exactly what I read here, or in fact, if it was not a fever dream. Am I still alive? I don't know. But I do know that he took out Colonel Sanders and the Michelin Man in the pages of Judge Dredd. Judges also carry retractable grappling lines with both suction and hook tips, which means that Beskar armor's got some nice flat areas on it. If he tries to use his little jetpack, sorry to steal your thunder, James, and fly up into the air, he could shoot a suction cup right onto it and yank that man down. Because one thing I've seen with Mandalorians, they aren't too great when they fly. They can go short distances, and it's not with the greatest skill that I've ever seen. Have you seen Boba Fett do that? Boy, he looks terrible when he's flying around like that. Same with the Mandalorian. It's a little bit embarrassing. He could easily get hooked and get dropped, pulled down to the ground where that concussive damage will take him out. And another little thing that I didn't want to miss here. Judge Dredd has handcuffs. I appreciate that he's got that armor on him, But if the Mandalorian gets overpowered at close range, which could very easily happen against Judge Dredd, and gets both arms behind his back, Judge Dredd is a master at combat handcuffing of his opponent. And if the Mandalorian, great armor or no, gets his hands cuffed behind him, this fight is over. He has been detained, immobilized, and arrested at the end of the day. Plus, as far as defense goes, when the Mandalorian went down, and I'll never forget that episode, he had to just lay there. He couldn't do anything. He had no way to come back in the fight. Judge Dredd has rapid heal patches that he can put on injuries to heal himself, believe it or not, rapidly, which means he has his own health potion, whereas the damage that Mandalorian takes, he's just going to have to live with. And intelligence-wise, I mentioned how he uses the ricochet shots. Great tactics. He's had great experience out of the field, taking down perpetrators all the time. Did you know that Judge Dredd once beat a grandmaster in a game of chess? That's the type of strategic mind that we're talking about here. I don't think that the Mandalorian could beat Baby Yoda in a game of Connect Four, if I'm just being completely real with you. And it's that type of approach that is going to make Judge Dredd much more sneaky. But the big point I wanted to leave for my last point here is about the Beskar armor itself. Because in Star Wars Revelations number 1, it was revealed that Beskar armor has a weakness in its flaw in its design. There is a gap, and you can see it when you look at pictures, between the helmet and the breastplate that leaves an opening that is not armored that hits very fleshy bits of the neck area. It would take a great marksman or maybe somebody with heat seeking bullets to hit it, but perhaps Judge Dredd is in fact the person to take advantage of this critical design flaw. I mean, it's like not putting a hatch on that Death Star back door. What are we talking about here? Why would you leave your neck open to injury? Anyway, it's over. That's my point number 3.
All right, some good stuff that you bring up, Ray, but you know, I gotta kind of push back with all of this. Yeah, the Mandalorian, he physically took out the most powerful battle droids ever developed in the Star Wars universe, at least up to that point. And he did it hand to hand. This is something you really got to take into consideration when you're like saying, as strong as Judge Dredd is, because he's really strong and as capable as he is, he's not this Terminator on steroids, as how I like to describe it. And I'll get into more of this later. Yet the Mandalorian took them out. Combat handcuffs, that's kind of cool, I guess. You got to remember the Mandalorian has the whistling bird missiles, the flamethrowers, the vibroblades, the, you know, the backpack, the rocket pack. That's not going to stop him whatsoever. He's going to get out of them, and he's not going to be immobilized while he's getting out of them. So that's not even a factor. You know, and I wonder, you're talking about design flaws. Between these two characters, I wonder if there is someone with a slight design flaw to their helmet that maybe, I don't know, exposes key elements of their face and provides no protection to it whatsoever. I don't know. We'll figure this out. Let me get to my point number 3. For my point number 3, let's talk about the strengths of the Mandalorian just to get things started. The Mandalorian, look, he's an absolute pro when it comes to improvising in fights. If he needs to switch up his plan on the fly, he's going to do it effortlessly, and he nails it every time. When it comes to combat, look, he's in a league of his own. Whether it's up close in melee, mid-range with his blaster, taking precise shots as a sniper, this guy can handle anything thrown his way. And if he needs to make distance, again, he can do it, or if he needs to get up close, he'll do it, and he'll feign weakness or an injury to get himself an opportunity to kind of get in close with someone. That's not all. He's a genius at using his environment to his advantage. Whether it's finding the perfect spot for cover, sneaking around unnoticed, or setting up traps like making a rock face collapse on his enemies, he's always thinking 3 steps ahead. And let's talk about this intensity he's got. The Mandalorian's, you know, just intensity is also insanely vicious. He doesn't hesitate to cripple his opponents, amputate limbs, or completely take down anyone who stands his way if the situation demands it. And he can do all of this as his opening move if he so chooses. Basically, when it comes to surviving and winning, the Mandalorian has got everything covered. And the Mandalorian has done some crazy feats and gotten some big wins. For example, he flew up, held onto, and then blew up a freaking TIE fighter in midair. He killed this massive Godzilla-sized, it was called a Great Dragon, by allowing himself to get swallowed by it. Then he dropped a bomb inside of it and then detonated it once he got out of its mouth. That's crazy. He's beaten and killed some of the most powerful beings in the Star Wars galaxy. Look, he breaks into prison ships, rescues people, and then takes out these powerful demonic-looking creatures that are in Star Wars. This is someone who has no fear taking on anything and anyone. Sea creatures, bounty hunters, pirates. And again, in Star Wars, humanoids aren't just human. They all have varying levels of technology and strength. and weapons and fighting ability, and he's seen it all and taken them all out. And again, look, you got to remember, he took out the Dark Troopers. That is, you know, the most crazy kind of thing you can think of. Again, those really cool Terminator-looking things on steroids with even more steroids thrown in. And that was also my favorite episode of the series because Luke Skywalker showed up and took some out too. But again, when you think about how the Mandalorian had to fight them hand-to-hand and still did what he had, took out a number of them, that is crazy impressive. And again, he usually wins by outlasting his opponents. He's way more deceptive, and he's really just super, super hard to kill. He's proved all of that time and time and time again. But here's the deal. Judge Dredd has some big weaknesses, and this is where it's going to get really fun. Look, talking about design flaws, his face and his mouth are unprotected. That's a huge glaring opening that the Mandalorian will completely attack and target. Remember, Batman knocked out Judge Dredd with a quick headbutt to the face. That's something that could work here as well. I love these crossovers. They're really cool. Judge Dredd also has a dependence on surveillance. Look, Judge Dredd excels when he has knowledge of his opponent. He can use, you know, that surveillance footage or previous encounters from other judges who have faced that opponent, and then they share the info and data because it's the future and that's what they do. But in this case, he's not going to have any of that. He's going in blind. He's not going to understand what he's expecting. And the biggest weakness that Judge Dredd has in this battle, he's got this strict adherence to the law and his process, where first he has to arrest someone, then he has to judge them, and then he executes them, which means he typically will arrest someone first before judging them and executing them just in that order, which also means he's going to be holding back at first. Look, it's kind of like how the police do it. There's a use of force continuum. It's a set of rules that dictate what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. You can't just shoot someone. You got to kind of do this first. You got to kind of arrest him. Ray, you mentioned he's got to use his handcuffs first. All of that means he's got to hold back until he gets to the heavy artillery and the heavier tactics. The Mandalorian does not do any of that. He goes in hardcore right away. And keep in mind, Judge Dredd has some losses to opponents who have a lot in common with the Mandalorian. So Judge Dredd lost many times to his character named Mean Machine Angel. He's got a cybernetic arm and powerful headgear, which he's used many times to headbutt Judge Dredd into unconsciousness. He lost being headbutted. And this is something that the Mandalorian has done quite a few times. A headbutt with Beskar armor by someone who doesn't care if they get hurt in the process, yeah, that's going to do some damage. Keep in mind that Judge Dredd has even been killed before, but the Mandalorian hasn't. A character named Judge Grice, who went rogue and attempted a coup, overpowered Judge Dredd and beat him so bad that he left him for dead. So there goes all that kind of fun stuff about he's unbeatable. And when he went up against the most similar opponent to himself, his clone called Judge Kraken, Kraken outmatched him. In this case, Mando will at least have equal ability to Judge Dredd, which Dredd has shown that he will lose to. Because again, when Judge Dredd fights someone, he typically has the better firepower, more power, physical power, the better weapons, whatever it is, the better tactics. That will not be the case with this battle. In the end, the Mandalorian has too many weapons, too much skill, especially in the Dirty Tactics era, and way less rules and constraints that Judge Dredd has. Plus, you know, Beskar armor. Look, in the bottom of all, it's just to sum this all up, Judge Dredd may be the law, but the Mandalorian has no rules. All of that is my point number three.
Wow, that's a lot of words to say a whole heck of not much. Does Mandalorian really headbutt people? Because of the concussive nature and Judge Dredd's own helmet and strength, if Mandalorian tried to headbutt Judge Dredd, a weird thing I don't think he's done, he would probably get himself concussed from his head rattling around in there as Judge Dredd matches his power. And you mentioned the crossover with Batman. I'm glad you did, because I wasn't going to, but now you did. Did you know that Judge Dredd shot a ricochet bullet off of Batman's chest plate that hit the Riddler and took him out? That's the sort of ridiculous thing that he's able to do to a guy like the Riddler, who's as smart as he is. And you mentioned Mandalorian's going to stop him with flamethrowers. What part of Dredd's uniform is fireproof? Do you not understand? I want you to try to shoot me with flamethrowers. I will push through it with Judge Dredd and take you out. And Mandalorian, his armor and his weapons, everything are strong because he's designed to defeat the people in his own universe. He's not, that's a lot of laser beams, right? It's a lot of robots and laser beams. Will Judge Dredd fight in a way that he is not prepared for, with six different types of real bullets that will do real damage to real Mandalorian? And you say Mando's going to fake an injury to let Judge Dredd get in close? Great! That's what I want you to do. I think your best approach is to try to get far away and shoot me with all the future weapons, even though I think you're at a disadvantage there too. If they get in close, Dredd is considerably stronger, considerably better in hand-to-hand combat, moves more agilely, and will handcuff and drop the Mandalorian. And that's not if he doesn't just use the heat-seeking bullets to shoot the gap in his neck in his armor. Forget it. Judge Dredd is the law. Mandalorian is the corpse.
How many S's in corpse? All right, doesn't matter. Listen, Seven. Matthew, you've heard three, probably. Matthew, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself, and it's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Matthew has to say, let's celebrate the Hoodwin Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Hoodwin Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a special Patron of the Week, as we've gone through a lot of them, and you can always go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. I'll get it right someday. Shut up. The point I'm trying to make here is Eric Hiding is, in fact, our patron of the week.
I know all about Eric Hiding. Okay, Eric, you know what? You're kind of someone who uses a lot of intelligence. You're very deceptive. I got it. Let's have Eric Hiding go up against Scooby-Doo and Mystery Incorporated.
Wow, that's a tough one right there, because you're right. Eric is sneaky. That's the word that I would use right now. I wouldn't use the word underhanded, but he likes to use tactics, as James likes to say, as an umbrella for an argument to say that he just wins because. You know, tactics, that's how he wins. And so what's going to end up happening here is Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Machine Gang, they're going to be right there. They're going to drive up to the ancient amusement park that's been abandoned. They're going to go on the roller coaster ride. They're going to go in the Tunnel of Love. They're going to go in, finally, the Funhouse. And the Funhouse is where the crazy thing is going to go down, because they're going to go through the little tubey thing that spins around. And one by one, the members of the gang are going to be disappearing. First, Velma's gone. Then Daphne. Then Fred. Then Scooby, and then Shaggy's all by himself, and he finally goes into the final room up in the control area where there's panels, and he sees all of his friends tied up, and he says, like, what happened? How did you do this? And Eric Hiding just turns to Shaggy, and he says, tactics. The lights go out. The episode ends. We don't know what happened, but we can safely assume that Eric Hiding got the upper hand. Congratulations, Eric. You took out the entire Mystery Gang.
I mean, even a ghost pirate who turned out to be Mr. Jenkins couldn't do that to Scooby-Doo and Mr. Incorporated. Well done,
Didn't
Eric.
Have tactics.
Yeah, I know it. Those darn kids. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to, get this right, Ray, patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Matthew, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between the Mandalorian and Judge Dredd.
All right, so this is probably the hardest battle that I have had to judge yet. These are very well-matched opponents. I mean, you know, usually there's opponents that are so different and that are bringing just such different things that it's, you know, there's different dynamics. But really what you have here are two warriors who, you know, hey, it's one of those, both of them are, I wouldn't want to meet that guy in a back alley, but yet here they are in the back alley, and they've met in the future. So, geez, how do I want to tackle this? So first, you know, there were some great points made that you were both getting to on both sides. There are, you know, Beskar does have a weakness. I mean, that was pointed out. I mean, you know, Superman even has kryptonite. That is only fair. Judge Dredd has taken some L's, and he's taken some pretty hard L's. The Batman one, although as much as I do love Batman in the weak spot, I am going to adhere to the crossover rule and say that one carries a little bit less, a bit of a weight. But it is still worth noting that he's got some big L's on his side. So here's how I think this is going to go down. All right, here's how I see this unfolding for me. Judge Dredd comes upon the Mandalorian, and right away, all right, like I said, Judge Dredd, he deals with criminals every day. He looks over there, he knows that's not a good guy. All right, he knows a villain when he sees a villain, and so right away he's jamming the guy up. All right, and I the way that I'm not going to go off any of my knowledge, I'm going to go off the way that Ray has presented him. And even the things you said, that Judge Dredd does adhere to the law, but when he sees an unfamiliar, heavily armed criminal, he's going to start with the gun out. All right, he's not going to approach him and walk up and rap on his helmet and say, so, where are you going tonight? What are we doing? No, he's going to come in with immediate suspicion, immediate prejudice. He's going to have the weapon out. He's going to want to demand what's going on. Mandalorian. Now, Mandalorian is vicious. Yes, Mandalorian has all these tactics, but Mandalorian also, He's had to deal with, you know, Republic people before. He's had to deal with the law. He's going to see if he can talk his way out of this. All right. And then he's going to see you don't talk your way out of anything with Judge Dredd. That's not what Judge Dredd is there for. I mean, now he's supposed to be, you know, the judge, the jury and the executioner. There's nothing in there about him being a lawyer. So he's not going to want to hear it. You're here. Illegal weapons. What's good? Boom. Mando knows, okay, I got to fight my way out of this. Goes for his pistol. Goes for the trusty pistol. Pop, pop, pop. Judge Dredd gets off 3 quick shots right away. He know, okay, this guy was going for his gun. I got to judge him for death. That's the way this goes. But what happens? Ping, ping, ping. Those bullets go ricocheting off of the Beskar. Uh-oh, this is not... Now, Mando knows he can tank damage. So, that pistol's coming up. He's firing back, and now the two of them are firing. They're ducking for cover. They're going to their weapons, and he realizes, Mando's going to realize real fast, this isn't just some regular run-of-the-mill Republic officer. This isn't even an Imperial officer or any of the stormtroopers that exist. This guy means business. So what's he going to do? He's going to activate that jetpack. He's going to try to get some advantages to get away from him. I like the suction rope. That thing is coming out. He's going to have to deal with that. Now, yes, Mando has blades. He has things. He can start to cut away at this stuff. But I'm going to agree with Ray's thing right there. He's not necessarily, he doesn't have Superman level control in the air. He can get up there. He can absolutely get up there, but you're also dealing with a master marksman who's ricocheting bullets off all over the place. Boom, jetpack gets damaged. All right, that's going to happen. That's going to take that jetpack out. Now he's got to fight with this guy, and Judge Dredd is closing in. He goes right over. He gets in deep close. I think Mando's going to be keeping him. Mando's got that flamethrower. That thing's coming out. Judge Dredd's going to go right through that. It's already said that his suit is resistant to fire. He's going right through that. He's coming in. Mando's going to guns. He's going to his weapons. And Judge Dredd gets his hands on him. Now, we've established that Judge Dredd is peak human strength. All right, peak human strength. Mandalorian, strong. But I don't think I've seen a case to where he is at peak level Captain America. You know, he seems to be like, I don't see him bench pressing a car or anything like that. So Judge Dredd's got his hands on him. All right. That's kind of being in the claws right there. He's clamping down on those hands. He's going for the cuffs. And that looks like it's pretty much game over. But what do we got? We got tranquilizer darts that were said were in the suits. And he's got those whistling birds that come out. Boom. Now, tranquilizer darts, that's an over-under. I don't know if those will work as immediately, but those whistling birds are sure gonna create some big, big problems for Judge Dredd. And just because of the fact I'm going off of what was debated here, I didn't really hear any rebuttals to the point that James made about the internal organs of Judge Dredd. Okay, I think that he is going to be taking some damage here. I think his 70-year-old heart is going to start to skip a beat. He's going to lose a step. I think his lungs are going to start to feel a little bit of the burn, because this guy is, who the hell is this armored stranger that I am having such a difficult time with? But even if he's having that time, he's got a rejuvenation patch. All right, he takes some damage from those whistling birds. He starts to reel back. Mandalorian's looking like, okay, maybe I got the advantage on this guy. He doesn't see that he's turned, slapped a patch on. Uh-oh, here comes Judge Dredd. Looks like it's going down, and then the Darksaber comes out. Darksaber comes out. Really, it was mentioned. However, I think once that Darksaber comes out, it's going to spell a certain amount of trouble for Judge Dredd. And I think I see this battle going, just from what I have heard in terms of all the points made and all the, it really came down to the rebuttal. I think that Darksaber makes the difference in this fight. All Mando needs is one good hit. And I think it's too much for Judge Dredd. It could have gone any other way on any other day, but today, Mandalorian walks away. The winner.
And there you have it. This was crazy. When I did the math with Judge Dredd versus the Mandalorian, I was putting everything together. I didn't know how this was going to go. And Rey, with those healing patches, I was like, uh-oh, this could cause disaster or mean disaster for the Mandalorian. But thankfully, the judge saw the logic and made the right call. I can't believe I got the win. I love The Mandalorian. And I got to tell you, the way Ray describes Judge Dredd, I love Judge Dredd even more, you know, after this episode. All right, Ray Cicadas, you barely got the loss. You did a great job. You should feel great and proud with how you did. Tell each audience what's going through your mind right now.
I don't understand exactly what happened with this judge's decision. I did not really refute the 70-year-old internal organs thing because I didn't think it was really that big of a point. Have we seen the guys in the Chair Fitness Instagram ad? Those guys are healthy. Judge Dredd has heavy levels of endurance ability, and I thought I made that point enough. And as far as the Darksaber goes, the weapon that Mandalorian got at the end of season two and was too heavy for him to effectively use in the Book of Boba Fett. Why? Because he had to fight against the blade that did not want to do the things he wanted to do with it. All of these things, I just assumed that, oh, you brought up the Darksaber. I just, you know what? Maybe bad assumption on my part to think the judge would actually know what the Darksaber and the Mandalorian. James lied about the weapon, and because he is a liar, he got away with a fraudulent victory. This is an outrage. People at home should be enraged. When James goes on for 17 minutes a point, and I have 90 seconds to refute it, I don't have enough time to literally hit. It's a gish gallop. I've just been gish galloped on the Who Would Win show, and I should know better. I try to pick out the points that I think are the most obvious, and sometimes a shot gets through. What a disappointment of a battle. I'm going to read some ratings and reviews. 5-star ratings from the Who Would Win Apple podcast. Here's one from October 22nd. Ray was robbed from Cat Chant 13. Ray gets robbed on a lot of victories, and some judges are rigged. Question mark from me. Other than that, a very well-crafted and entertaining podcast. And a second one from Mr. Ray Niak. Beautiful name. From also October 22nd, it just says, hi, 5 stars. Hi, at Mr. Dot Rainiac. In all capital letters, it says, James is annoying, exclamation point. Ray, if you're reading this, you're my favorite person on the show. Hashtag Ray is right. Well, you know, Mr. Rainiac, you're my favorite person listening to the show, at least for this episode, unless I'm also listening to it. Then you're the second most favorite person of me listening to the show. The Darksaber? You've got to be kidding me.
Here's the deal. Even when he had problems using the Darksaber, because people are going to be, you know, calling this out, he has to do is hold it up to the chest or the face, you know, for a moment and just turn it on. He was still able to slash with it. Still a thing that's going to be a factor, even though he's not a pro with it. All I'm saying is it's going to be something that's fun to, you know, use in this battle. All right, listen, Matthew Harris, you came up with another great decision. You did what you did and brought magic to the end of this battle with a great story, a great, even greater outcome. Please come back to the Who Would Win show. But in the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Absolutely. And look, let me just say this to the Legion of Audience. I am one of you. All right. I tune in regularly. I hear these battles. I know what you're talking about. I might even know what you're feeling right now. But listen, let me tell you something about I Do My Judge before you come at me online when I give you all my info here. All right. Yes, I do know about the Darksaber. I do know about these characters. But when I'm judging who would win, and should you ever find yourself in my position, you'll understand. You got to go by what's said, not by what you know. I don't do the work for the debaters. They got to bring it for me. And I'm going to tell you, a really, really good battle was brought here today. I pray, as much as fun as I am having and as great as this is, I pray that you never find yourself in the seat as I have found myself in, because it is not an easy place to be. But boy, is it fun. You can find me mostly on TikTok and Twitter, both of the handles. It's Matt Harris, and please give Reply Stop a view. You might find it fun.
I love it. All right, Ray, again, a great job debating Judge Dredd. Way to bring such great light to this character. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you.
You know, I have another review that I want to read right here. It's 5 stars, something I realized from Hulk Horde. He likes to change his reviews a lot to get back up at the top again. I've noticed, Hulk Horde, but give other people a chance to. October 15th, 2024. Something I didn't realize was that in Goku versus Superman round 2, James brought up the fact that if Superman gets exhausted, he could just fly to the sun and recharge. But what that means is, all caps, Superman is battlefield removing himself. And it doesn't matter how fast he moves because he left the battlefield, and it goes, all caps again, completely ignored. Hulk Horde, I feel your pain. I feel your pain. You can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316. I feel like I won this battle. I feel like it, honestly, this was a one time when I think being ahead at the turning point was worked against me because James got tips on how he could come back, but I got no feedback of any kind as to how I was doing. So I just sort of made a couple of assumptions that perhaps I should not have made. Matthew Harris, you're one of my favorite people in the entire world. It's a bummer it had to come to this. You are dead to me.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Oh, damn. I know.
You know what? You're dead to him again.
I understand. I understand Ray's constant disappointment with the world around him. And Ray, all I can say is, I'll see you at home.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, this is just really weird. Listen, you know, Superman, when he goes to the sun, gets sun dipped and comes back, that's seconds. By the way, in the first Goku versus Superman battle, Ray said that Goku would use instant transmission to search the galaxy for kryptonite because he read Superman's mind and found out that was a weakness. I think that would take a little bit longer for Superman to get the sun. Anyway, all I'm trying to say is it's not battlefield removal because he would come back in seconds. That's the thing. All right, listen, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and Threads and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Race to Canis, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.